Welcome to HealthWise, 30 minutes to think about God and your health, brought to you by your friends at Cottage Pharmacy, 8285 Jericho Turnpike in Woodbury, New York. I praise you, O Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, says the writer of Psalm 139. And because we are made in God's wonderful image, how thoughtful we should be with our bodies as well as our souls. For the next 30 minutes, listen, learn, and call for advice so that you too can become HealthWise.
Hi, I'm Bill Shishko, host of today's edition of HealthWise. Now, things can get really confusing when we talk about fats. High fat is bad, low fat is good, is way, way, way too simplistic. Our bodies need certain types of fats for many reasons. Fats supply fatty acids that are essential to make your body work right. And you must get them from food because your body doesn't produce them. Fats are God's transportation mechanism for vitamins A, D, E, and K, fat-soluble vitamins that must be carried throughout your body. Fats are necessary for things like healthy skin, good eyesight, and brain development, especially in babies and young children. So the issue isn't fat versus no fat. In fact, many no-fat foods, well, they're simply worse for you than the same foods containing fat. And the issue isn't how much fat. Most of us get between 30 to 40% of our calories from fats and things like meat, butter, cheese, and baked goods. See, the real issue is, am I getting enough of the right kinds of fats? And that's when things get confusing. Monounsaturated fats. Now, we're not going to go into the chemistry behind that term, at least not now. But monounsaturated fats are not the culprits in raising your cholesterol levels, clogging your delicate arteries, and potentially depriving your brain and heart of necessary oxygen-rich blood. The fatty acids found in monounsaturated fats don't raise your cholesterol levels, and they do provide you with vitamin E and important antioxidants. You'll get monounsaturated fats in things like olive oil, avocados, and many nuts. These are good things for you. Polyunsaturated fats, and we won't get into the chemistry behind that term either, at least not now. Polyunsaturated fats are found in plant-based oils like corn oil, safflower oil, palm oil, and also in many nuts. Conventional wisdom is that polyunsaturated fats can have a positive effect on your health, but there's more to it than that, as you'll hear later. Now, we get to the bad guys, or what may be the bad guys, saturated fats. These are found in things like fatty meats and full-fat dairy products, whole milk, cheese, and, sorry to mention it, but ice cream. These can raise your cholesterol concentration and clog things up in your arteries, but as you'll soon find out, not all saturated fats are bad guys as you try to be HealthWise. Trans fats. Those are the real bad guys. Trans fats are monounsaturated fats or polyunsaturated fats, which are processed to make them look like saturated fats. Think margarine in comparison with butter. Or think canned shortening instead of lard. The chemical modification done to produce trans fats changes the substance so that it doesn't spoil as quickly as natural oils, and those trans fats are used to fry chips and many other popular and tasty snacks. Read the ingredients label, and you'll find trans fats in cookies, crackers, and baked goods sold in your local supermarkets. These chemically developed trans fats, well, they're simply bad for you. They raise your bad cholesterol level, commonly known as LDL, and they lower your good cholesterol level, commonly known as HDL. And unless you like inviting a heart attack or stroke, well, then you should avoid trans fats. Then there are the omega oils, which are also essential to your good health. Omega-3s are the best. We get these from fish, especially fish like salmon, trout, striped bass, and sardines. from green leafy vegetables we get omega-3s, and also from nuts and from seeds like hemp and flax and chia. Omega-6 oils are also necessary for your system, but they can raise your blood pressure and lead to blood clots and other bad things. Now, we get omega-6 oils in vegetable oils and corn oils, and as you would expect, we typically get more omega-6 oils than omega-3 oils. We need both types of omega oils, but we should either have equivalent amounts of each, omega-3 and omega-6, or more omega-3. See, the problem is, and this is the big one, our modern diets, fill in the blanks, usually have between 16 and 20 times more omega-6 oils than omega-3s. That's not good, and we'll be addressing that later. So, this is all confusing. We need fats, but not the bad ones. And some that the medical community has said are bad, they now say are good, and vice versa. So how do I separate fat fact from fat fiction? And how do we work our way through the good and the bad of fats? Well, my guest today is Mr. Banu Gadi, pharmacist of Long Beach Chemists, 170 West Park Avenue in Long Beach, New York. And along with being a pharmacist, Banu is a longtime student of diet and nutrition. Today he'll be talking with us about fat fallacies. Interesting name for what is promising to be a very interesting show. Cottage Pharmacy, 8285 Jericho Turnpike in Woodbury, New York. Well, Cottage Pharmacy brings you today's edition of HealthWise. Call the program with your questions about today's topic, fat fallacies. Call in number 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. And you can even text your question if you like. Put the number under HealthWise. And here's the number for texting your question, 516-367-0391. That's 516-367-0391 for text questions only. But for now, welcome to Banu Gadi. Banu, welcome to the studio again today.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. Glad to be here.
We're going to begin developing a little bit of what you developed in the last program on intermittent fasting, which, as we'll learn, is connected with the issues of fat. So since that's something of a whole subject, why don't you just give us a little picture of intermittent fasting again?
Well, intermittent fasting is a way to go without food for a longer portion of the day, so that food intake is confined to a 6 to 8 hour window, and not eating outside that window.
Not eating at all. No. Well, drinking liquids, of course.
Drinking liquids is absolutely permissible, and if it is essential as well.
Yeah.
And if you feel hungry during that time, you need to eat something, a little amounts, which does not trigger insulin response.
Yeah, okay. Okay. And we've got to hasten to add with people, when we're dealing with these changes in diet, people really should check with a doctor first.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. These are all the tools. These are all the tools which convey wisdom that has been gathered over so many years. And these tools have to be used with, this is the knowledge, and you need the wisdom.
Right.
Okay. Of the clinicians to be able to.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so intermittent fasting, which we've begun to practice and found that very beneficial. Okay, so when we do eat, especially when we allow that time for intermittent fasting after we eat, so we're looking at maybe a 16 to an 18 hour period of fasting.
Right.
We eat in, say, between a 6 and an 8 hour period. Why are fats so important, Banu?
Well, during that period where we are not eating anything, body is concerned about processing the nutrition that was taken in and eliminating the toxins that don't belong in the body and repairing the damage and restoring the function, whether a function was compromised. So there are many ways of doing this fasting, as we have already discussed. And also, what body is also concerned about, as we are finding out in the recent revelations, the last year's Nobel Prize was given to a person who discovered the autophagy. Okay, so body kicks in autophagy, the cellular recycling mechanism.
Right. Okay. All right. And that's a natural way our body. Well, it's natural, but it's under the sovereignty of God.
Yes.
It's the way our body. Now, I want to be sure I'm correct in this, and I want to get back to the fats. If we follow the pattern of, say, eating five small meals a day and don't allow a rather significant time for fasting, what happens in the body?
See, okay, five small meals a day, I think that has become very popular nowadays. Yeah. The problem I see with that is, okay, as soon as we eat something, our body, the sugar levels go up, the glucose levels go up, and body is working extra hard to bring those sugar levels down, the insulin response.
That's what the insulin does.
Yes,
right.
Insulin. So what happens is, see, and nobody eat, nowadays what we, you know, we eat more than what we definitely need. So body is concerned about taking all that nutrition and storing it away under the influence of insulin.
Okay. Yeah, see, one of the things we've noticed with the intermittent fasting is we've noticed that we just eat less, period. We're just not that hungry. Okay, so what happens is, for example, if somebody is foolish, somebody were to eat, say, a big bowl of frosted flakes with all that sugar, and their body's not going to last very long before they're going to want to eat again, correct?
Right. Yeah. Yes, what happens is the liver is converting all those excess sugars and carbohydrates and processing them into fats and storing them away. Okay? And all that nutrition is stolen by this excess insulin by the liver, and that is where this fat non-alcoholic steatohepatitis or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease comes from. Okay. So these hepatocytes, okay, they are overwhelmed with processing and making that fat, and they get clogged, and that is where the fatty liver disease comes from.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's get back to the fat. So why Banu we have to have a fair amount of fat in that 6 or 8 hour period in which we're eating. Talk with us about that.
Okay. So the fair amount of fat. See, when you consume fats, okay, the way fats are utilized by the body is different than how our body utilizes carbohydrates, for instance. Carbohydrates are released into the bloodstream, and which results in raising glucose level right away.
Yeah, that's why we feel an energy rush.
Exactly,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you will have a drop-off. And now what happens is with the fat, there is something called endothelium. There is a layer of cells in the intestines. Endothelium used to be thought of as an inert layer, but not anymore. It is metabolically active, and also it can store the fats, and it can give signals for the body and the pancreas what is coming and how much insulin or how many...
We didn't evolve like this, right?
Right. No.
Okay.
No. It is a design.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Design. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
So that is why, that is why there is an element of satiation with fats. Okay, because fats are stored in the enterocytes, and these are enteroendocrine cells. Okay, and they are released much slower.
We've talked about that in something called a satiety index.
Yes,
the way you feel satisfied, and without the fats, you really don't.
No.
Correct?
No.
Okay, let's talk, Banu, about this is fat fallacies,
yes,
and we're correcting some errors. Talk about butter.
You know, okay, butter. Okay, when we come to butter, now you introduced about mono, poly, and saturated fats.
Right.
Monounsaturated, polyunsaturated, and saturated. See, the saturation, it is referring to, these are all the fats are carbon chains.
Okay.
And saturation is referring to the carbon-carbon bond that exists between along these chains. Okay. If the carbon-carbon bond is a double bond, okay, and you said we are not getting into chemistry, but without getting into some chemistry, it is not...
I said I wasn't getting into it.
That's right.
I said we would later.
Okay. These double bonds refer to... See, when there is a double bond, that means that double bond can be broken up and it can bond with something else. That is the unsaturated portion of that chain.
Okay.
So when we say polyunsaturates, that means that has more than one double bond in that chain, in that carbon chain. And monounsaturates have only one.
Only one.
And saturated fat does not have any.
Ah, okay.
So that is where the problem lies. Where, see, when we consume these fats and they are circulating in the bloodstream, okay, they can bond with, this double bond can break up, and they can bond with oxygen.
Which is good, which is what we need. Absolutely.
That bonding with oxygen can turn that fat rancid. That is where this oxidation of fats come from. See, that oxidation has to happen in the at a much later stage in the mitochondria. That is where the energy is generated. But if the fat is oxidized in the bloodstream, that can turn rancid.
All right. Okay. So you want that to be delayed.
Yes.
The process to be delayed. Okay.
And
what does that have to do with butter?
Okay. Butter is something called, it is a saturated, mostly it is a saturated fat. That means it does not have any potential for it to get oxidized.
All right.
So it doesn't turn rancid. It is a more stable fat.
But there's different kinds of butter.
Oh, definitely.
Because now you've got the organic and you've got the regular. You're going to recommend the organic.
Yes, organic and preferably grass-fed
butter.
When you mentioned this omega-3 to omega-6 ratio, okay, that is very important. And in cattle, those which are fed with grains, that fatty acid profile is not beneficial.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yes. So that's why, again, grass-fed, because the ratio omega-3 and omega-6 is closer to what it should be. Excellent. Mm-hmm. My guest today is Banu Gadi. You are a chemist. Clearly, you are. Okay. And Banu is also the one that you will meet at Long Beach Chemist, 170 West Park Avenue in Long Beach, New York. But our sponsor today is Cottage Pharmacy. Let's hear about them.
I love Cottage Pharmacy, and you will too. Awarded among Long Island's best pharmacies, Cottage Pharmacy is far more than a pharmacy. While you're waiting for your prescriptions, check out their large nutrition section, their med spa, and their boutique. And they carry a full line of surgical supplies and durable medical equipment too. See, I know from experience, it's fun to shop at Cottage Pharmacy. You won't find such personal service and such a knowledgeable staff anywhere. They live up to their motto, if we can't take care of you, no one can. Every customer at Cottage Pharmacy is a satisfied customer. Oh, and here's a bonus for you. Mention WLIE 540 when you check out, and you'll receive a 20% discount on your purchases from the nutrition department, the boutique, and from their surgical and medical section, too. Just mention WLIE 540 when you check out. Cottage Pharmacy is conveniently located at 8285 Jericho Turnpike in Woodbury, New York. They're open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Cottage Pharmacy, where rule number one is the customer is always right, and rule number two is, if not, go back to rule one. Cottage Pharmacy, 8285 Jericho Turnpike, Woodbury, New York.
Bill Shishko here with you for today's edition of HealthWise. We're dealing with the fascinating fat fallacies. Well, there's a tongue twister for you with my guest, Banu Gadi, and we're dealing with good fats, bad fats, and everything in between. Banu, let's continue to talk about errors about fats. Bacon! You're a bacon fan.
Yes, absolutely. See, bacon, if it is raised properly, it can...
explain what you mean, because not all bacon is the same.
Right. Yeah. If it is pasture-fed, pasture-raised, that fatty acid profile can be beneficial as well.
And no chemical additives.
Right, exactly.
With it,
yes.
Which means you got to use it rather quickly, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you can find these places. We have a...
Yes, you can.
Yeah, okay. How about, now, canola oil?
Yes, sir.
That's a confusing one, because conventional wisdom is it's good, but you're saying not so.
You know what? It is omega-3 to omega-6 ratio is beneficial in that.
Okay.
Okay. But canola oil, it is also, it's mono and polyunsaturates.
Okay.
So it is high in mono and polyunsaturates. And also how these oil grains are raised is also of very big importance here.
So we get canola oil at the market. You buy the big, but that's okay, or that's better than the vegetable oil or the corn oil.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. What about now? So we mentioned vegetable oil, corn. What about coconut oil, Bonner? That was a bad guy 15 years ago. Now it's a good guy.
Yes. See, coconut oil is one of the best oils. If we are talking about this fatty acid, the ratio of omega-3 and omega-6, as well as it is a saturated fat. It is a more stable oil.
It's a good saturated fat.
It is a good saturated fat. See, and it is a more stable oil for cooking. I think it is one of the best.
And one of the questions that comes to us here periodically, the cooking doesn't alter that good ratio, correct? When you use it to heat?
No, if it is the right kind of oil.
Yeah, like the coconut oil,
right,
for example.
Exactly,
it's okay.
Yes.
Now, avocado oil is another good one.
Avocado oil is a mostly monounsaturated fat.
Yeah,
so
okay.
There is one bond that is available for it to be oxidized.
Okay.
But, saturated fats are better for cooking.
Well, yeah, they are. Yeah, just that. We throw cooking things in here, Bonham.
Yeah.
When you the popcorn, skip the microwave stuff. Get the real Orville Redenbacher's, whatever it is, and cook it with coconut oil.
Yeah.
Oh, it is terrific. Okay, that's going to get us, Bonham, into this big issue of the ketogenic diet. Would you explain the keto, gets K-E-T-O-G-E-N-I-C, word buff that I am. Explain that, and what's the principle behind it?
Well, ketogenic. See, there are, when body turns to burning fat, see, when our body is in this fasting mode, okay, and it turns to the stored resources.
Okay.
And when it takes that in and burns it, when liver breaks down those, the fats, it generates something called a ketone body.
Okay.
That is the origin for this term ketogenesis.
Ketogenic.
Yeah. And ketones can be used for energy.
Okay. I mean, this is a diet that they use sometimes with men going into the military,
yes,
correct?
Right, that is correct, yes.
Right, okay.
Okay. And also, our brain can use ketones as an alternate energy source. The brain cell.
Well, my dear friend and brother, I need all the help I can get. So tell me more about the ketogenic diet.
Yes. ketogenic diet, I'd like to mention this. It is a tool.
Okay.
Any tool is not a be-all and end-all.
Okay.
Okay. We have to use these tools. Okay. And since we are in this culture and in the pretty much generally all over the world, we are almost obsessed with consumption.
Yes.
All the time.
Sure.
Okay. That is, in that context, ketogenic diet can be a very beneficial thing. Okay. It can set us on the right path once again. So, ketogenesis. See, ketogenic diet for a certain period of time is a good thing.
And again, we're talking about medical advice.
Yes, absolutely.
What does this involve? If I'm wanting to go on the ketogenic diet, what do I do and what do I not do?
Okay. The partial fast or the intermittent fasting. See, if you go without food for 16 to 18 hours, okay, the body has to resort to burning the stored energy, fats.
Okay.
That is when body is said to be in nutritional ketosis state.
Okay. Right. Okay.
In that state, body is using all the stored fats. So we are reversing, this mechanism of storage, and we are
using it.
Activating the pathways.
Sure.
Okay,
so that's one of the ways we're going to lose weight.
Yes.
So, I mean, what are you talking about? Eating bacon all the time, or what? And of course, the big question people raise, Bonham, is what does this do to your cholesterol level?
Okay. See, cholesterol level. See, what happened with cholesterol is this about 100 years ago. Okay, that is when we started using vegetable fats.
Okay.
And about 50, 60, 70 years ago, somebody found out that, the people are dying of heart disease, and they did research, and they attributed wrongly that all this atherogenesis is being caused by the butter and cholesterol in the diet. And that is how we have come to know that cholesterol is bad for us, and all the cholesterol that people were consuming that up to that time is bad. So that is when we have made a shift to consuming vegetable oils and oils that are made to look like the natural.
So you're saying we need to start with what? And then we're going to have to wrap this up and continue it the next time. But where do you start this ketogenic diet?
You know, it is for a novice, it is very difficult to go without food for such a long time. Okay. So what it is I think I what I would do if I were starting on a ketogenic diet is, you know, confine the calories consumed to about 10 to 12 hour, you know, 12 hour period,
right.
And then slowly that's reduce that.
Okay, so we are talking about the ketogenic diet.
Yes.
We're talking about, and with the right fats.
Yes.
And Bonner, we're going to continue this on the next edition of HealthWise.
Okay.
Thanks to Cottage Pharmacy for sponsoring today's program. And incidentally, their pharmacy is connected with yours, your pharmacy, Bonner, Long Island Chemist. 170 West Park Avenue in Long Beach, but Cottage Pharmacy sponsoring today's program. They're at 8285 Jericho Turnpike in Woodbury, New York. It's a delightful step back in time to pharmacies like they used to be. Mention WLIE 540. You'll receive a special 20% discount on surgical and medical supplies in the boutique and in the nutrition department. And if you'd like to use their toll-free number, 1-800-599-9963, 1-800-599-9963. 20% discount there, too. Just mention WLIE 540 AM. Next week, more on the vast world of living wisely in the body God has given you. So we'll see you here on the radio next Saturday at 1 p.m. for another edition of HealthWise. Listen in next Saturday at 1 p.m. for the next edition of HealthWise, brought to you by your friends at Cottage Pharmacy, 8285 Jericho Turnpike in Woodbury, New York. Call them on the toll-free number, 1-800-599-9963. That's 1-800-599-9963. Thanks for listening, and for now, be HealthWise.